Hello, and welcome to the Urban Vibe Podcast. I'm your host, Dayton, and today I have
Dylan,
Jaden,
Matt,
Haley,
here to talk about their experiences studying in London this semester. So we'll start out with homestays. We've had a variety of experiences, I know, from good experiences to bad. So I just want, let's start with Dylan. How was your experience with your homestay?
So far, and I'm sure you can speak to this as well, I feel like I've had a fairly smooth and successful integration into like living at my homestay. I feel like our host has been like very kind and like super helpful, like often giving us tips on like where to eat, like helps with the tube station. They told us the City Mapper app right when we first got there, and that's always been super helpful to me. So I think I have no complaints about my homestay. I think every homestay should be like ours. Flawless. I don't know. I had
no complaints.
The only thing is the small bathroom. It's very small and it's annoying to pee. Like, I cannot, I have to lean like all the way back in order to pee without smacking my head on the ceiling. So it's you know.
It's an adjustment.
Things to get used to, but. Yeah.
Ooh.
Not nice.
Jaden?
I don't like the small bathroom. I keep hitting my elbow and stuff, and I'm pretty small.
Yeah, we do have a small bathroom.
Yeah, it's a shower and a sink and a toilet, and I feel like there's not really even a good place to put a trash can.
There's no trash can.
No, we've been using paper bags to put our trash in and then taking them out. Yeah.
But we also had a bad homestay experience the first time.
Yeah.
This is our second homestay right now.
Yeah.
Do you want to share about your first?
Sure.
You never forget your first.
Our first homestay was very toxic.
They weren't very respectful of us. They kind of treated us like we were children, which I didn't appreciate, especially since, like, it doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, they did have a 16-year-old staying with them, but they also had like an adult, like, daughter.
They had two adult daughters.
Yeah.
That doesn't even live at home.
Yeah.
Mm.
They didn't.
Can you give some examples? Like, what do you mean they treated you like children?
They're very controlling of their kitchen. Like, they didn't want us to like cook. The reason was that they were Italian and the kitchen was their favorite place in the house, so they didn't want to share it.
Interesting.
So, I mean, they're very big. Italians are big on their food.
Yeah, and then they're like, you don't need to go grocery shopping. We'll go grocery shopping for you, like pick it out, pick what you get and stuff like that.
Yeah, which is crazy because they didn't even ask if we had allergies or preferences or anything like that. Because, like, what if they had given us something we were allergic to? I mean, I don't have any allergies, but, like, they didn't even consider that, like.
They just assumed.
Yeah.
So how's that different now with your second homestay?
Our second homestay is very,
very different.
Kind.
Yeah. she doesn't dictate what we do.
She allows us to like go out, doesn't set curfews or anything like that. And she is very nurturing, I'd say. She's more like a nice grandmother than anything.
Yeah.
And the other one was like a dictator.
Yeah. I actually got to use her oven, which is nice.
Oh, what'd you make?
I made pizza yesterday. It was hard to figure out what I was doing, but I figured it out.
She stores all her pans in her oven, though. It's kind of fun.
That's hilarious. I love that.
Well, that's for storage, I think.
Like,
right, but that,
when I get a house, I'm doing that. I'll just put all my pans in the oven. That's ingenious. That is so smart. Oh, my gosh.
I do have a problem with the lock sometimes, though, because I've been locked out or locked in several times. Like, Sunday, I was going to go to the ball pit bar with that group.
Yeah.
I did not get to do that because she came home. I told her I had plans at 6. The doors was locked, and she didn't come home until, like, 7, almost 8. It was
no, like, I'd say, like, closer to 9.
Wait, so you couldn't get out of the house?
I told you about that. Like,
what if it, like, burned down?
That's what my mom said.
Then
we would have jumped. We would have gone out the window.
But it's weird because
how do you not get out? There's locks. Just undo the lock.
Okay, so we only have a key to the outside door, not the inside door. So if she locks it, we don't have a key, we're screwed. So
if we don't,
and she locks like all the other exits, so we can't really get out another way. Unless we want to jump off our roof.
That is a fire hazard.
That is, yeah.
But for the most part, other than the doors, it's been much better than the Italian homestay. I feel much safer because
you feel more free.
Well, yeah, but also like
besides the door.
Yeah.
Everyone's yeah. smiling when you get locked in or locked out.
Yeah. But yeah, I would take.
It's cold.
Yeah. Because the first homestay found out we were leaving, they came into our room when we weren't there and like took the extra blanket they gave me, which I had been using.
Yeah, like
they took it.
What do you mean found out you were leaving?
Like the AISF or whatever, they called and said that they're gonna move us to a new homestay. Mm. And so, one, they stopped serving us breakfast. Two, they took her blanket. Three, they burst in when I was on a phone call with my parents. And like started berating us.
Hmm.
So yeah, second homestay.
It's a good thing you moved.
Yeah. Second homestay is great.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah.
Doesn't berate us at all.
Yeah, because Rita, like, if she went into our room, she at least tells us, like, when she changed the sheets, she told us beforehand, so she wouldn't just be like going in without us knowing.
Yeah.
Respect is a huge thing for the homestay.
Mm-hmm. And your house is
a little bit. Yeah, I love the homestay. I'm at. She is the person I'm with, Shanji, cultural differences. She's Sikh, I'm semi-formally Catholic. So it was nice to hear different sides of belief systems and politics and learning that British culture is so much different from America and how we see the world, and especially with big topics like guns and political leadership. But other than that, for me, it's been really nice to have the freedom to go out at night, be treated like an adult. Like, I'm essentially living at an apartment and she's just kind of next door.
Okay.
Yeah. The restrooms, like everyone else said, is a different experience since they don't. At least the place I'm at is, it's the water closet and the shower is in a different room.
Yeah.
So where the toilet is in the water closet, what they call a restroom, small walls. I think my shoulders touch each wall as I sit down on the restroom toilet. So it's a tight squeeze.
Yikes.
But smaller house is a bit different. But other than that, it's pretty much the same vibe as being at home.
Do you live by yourself or do you live with your parents?
So, back in Des Moines, I live with my parents and my two brothers. So, it's pretty hectic hearing voices, everyone else's voice against the walls, which is very nice here because it's just my homestay, mom, and her son and me. Once in a while, we'll have some other foreign exchange students come through for a week. We had Spanish kids last week. But other than that, it's pretty quiet. I can do homework in peace.
Nice.
If I need to. Yeah.
Nice. I'm rooming with Dylan, so we have very similar experiences. I like it a lot. And so really good, nice, peaceful place to sleep and do homework.
Oh, yeah. Like, the only thing is, like, sometimes the kids play outside.
There's a daycare.
Oh,
right?
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm like, how are they
right
not
there.
In school right now? Because I thought they were in, like, the house next door, or, like, a door down. I was like, kids should be in school.
There's like two daycares at our place, the church and then right across.
Did you hear them in your room?
No.
No.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No.
They're just always
we just
be...
hear the other residents from my room.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, even then, I feel like sometimes I'm like, do these people even live here? Because, like, I don't, the guy that's like.
She has a lot of, like, stuff, like, oh, what's the word? Stowaways? No.
Couch surfers?
That's more like it. Like, she just, like, takes whoever she can in.
Huh.
Like, it's some people that are, like, permanent residents that, like, stay there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then every once in a while, she's like, my niece is here. And then, like, mm-hmm. I thought she left, and then all of a sudden she's still there. I'm like, what's... And I was like, oh, okay. Because apparently I came back yesterday, and she's like, oh, my niece was here last night. I was like, you told me she was coming, like, 3 weeks ago. Like, why is she still...
Well, I think she leaves and come back.
Like, yeah, that's like what I'm.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, nice.
I did think I heard someone last night.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the biggest challenge that you have faced while over here.
I'd say the two. Like, for the first couple weeks, I'd be just trying to figure that out. It was very difficult.
Oh, completely. The tier map looks incredibly daunting.
It's not helpful.
Yes.
It's not helpful. Research, biggest piece of advice, research your route.
Yeah.
Know where your point A and point B is, then find your bus or your tube and go from there. Once you figure out your east and south and your northwest, yeah, then it becomes a little bit easier. But the first week was realizing, oh, some trains go different routes, even if you're on the same lane. Make sure you get on the one train that goes on the route that's on your stop.
And not so just the next train.
Yes.
Yeah. Make sure it goes to your next stop. That's happened to me more than once.
Yeah, that was just big.
Yeah, I definitely have gotten on the wrong trains multiple times because of that. I'm like, oh, this is the station I normally get on. There's a train leaving right now. I need to hurry. And so, you know, you hop on the train, and then next thing you know, you're all the way off in Finchley.
That's happened with me with the Elizabeth line, because, like, the Elizabeth line doesn't always go to the main action, like, every single, like, train.
It skips it sometimes.
And
it
so
skips
that's
that in
a couple times where I've had to, like, reroute myself.
It skips that one in West Dealing sometimes.
Yeah.
I would say scheduling's really hard.
Scheduling.
Yeah. Like, figuring out what you want to do and making sure you get everything accomplished.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, like, I feel like some places take more than one day, like, to visit. Like,
oh, yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Sure.
Emily from California, she said she's gone to the Victoria and Albert, Museum 3 times now, and she still hasn't even gone halfway through it.
Really?
Yeah. So, like.
I haven't gone there.
Yeah.
I want to go there, but.
It's it's not that far from here. It's like maybe a 10-minute walk from here, but it's a lot, and there's a lot of different stuff. And like with the museums, you can only stay in there for so long before you tap out and get exhausted.
True.
And then you have to come back or like
take a break.
Yeah, because and if your phone's not charged and you want to keep going, that's frustrating too.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different from Des Moines. These are massive 4-5-story museums with actual artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That are filled, like, all the floors are filled.
As someone with a problem with, like, big spaces, it gets a little, even though it's, like, it's overwhelming, but even though it's a big space, I get claustrophobic.
Mm-hmm.
And all these massive artifacts just start kind of closing in a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So you kind of have to realize, oh, I'm getting overwhelmed. Let me get to the next exhibit. The next exhibit, same thing. Different artifacts, but it is still a massive room.
Yeah. There's no, like, small room in, like, those kind of museums.
Yeah, no.
And the people in there don't help either, because they're all, like, crowding around you, and, like, they'll give you nasty looks if you're in front of them, and it's like, it's like, I'm sorry for ruining your museum experience or by being walking in front of you. I'm sorry, do you live here?
I think that's just more of a crowded situation than
like,
culture.
People get grumpy, like, keep popping up or, like, stepping on the back of their shoes, so it's probably part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm doing the same way.
Yeah, I do try to keep my distance because I don't appreciate being squished either. But like, I feel like some of the people here, they can just like, I can't tell if they're like staring at me or not. You know, like they just like I'll try to read a plaque and a guy is like blocking me.
Yeah, that's something I haven't got used to entirely. Is like people being all around.
Yeah, like closeness is really something.
And like in the tube, like when it's packed, like where do you look?
Yeah, that's true. Me and you were talking about that. I'm like, you don't want to look at like
somebody.
Like, something that like specific about me. Like I was looking at a kid in a stroller, and the mom kept looking at me, and I was like, oh God, what does she think I'm thinking? And then I look over at an old man, and the old man was looking at me like I was going to do something. And so it's just like, I don't know where to look.
Like, if it's overcrowded, I usually just look down at my shoes because I don't want to, like, offend someone.
Yeah.
By looking at them.
Yeah, but it's also hard because, like, you need to pay attention around you because otherwise people, like, shove you out of the way or, like, bump into you.
Or steal your things.
Exactly. That's what my mom told me. When I got, she's like, you're going to get something stolen from you, Jaden. And I was like, thanks.
Thanks for the confidence.
Yeah, well, like, I get it.
And
she
also, like, no offense, but, like, your size, you can easily get lost in, like, the tube crowd.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a look back. Yeah.
Like, oh, it's not a size problem. I get lost, too, because the Piccadilly line, especially during rush hour,
it is
sardine packed.
The Piccadilly is a
horrible
creation.
I don't like the small or like shorter like cabin trains.
Yes.
Well, like Piccadilly.
Piccadilly sucks. I can't stand in it. No matter where I stand, I'm smacking my head on the ceiling.
Then get shorter.
Let's get shorter.
Well, I can't even grab the railing thing to keep myself from like overhead railing thing.
Yeah.
I can't reach that. So like if I can't reach a side railing or like a pole,
I'm just trusting your gravity right
there. Yeah, I have to get tossed around, and then if I bump into people, they give me nasty looks. I'm like, sorry, I can't.
I feel bad. I want to like grab your bag, but I feel like that'd be like invading your personal space. But like also, I don't want you to fall on your face.
Yeah, advice number two, don't carry anything unless you can put it on the ground.
Oh, true.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your hands are free whenever you're on a tube.
Yeah. Don't eat on the train or try not to drink coffee. I've almost spilled hot tea on someone and I felt very embarrassed.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Don't have something that could fall. Like.
Yeah. I would say London specifically is... It's a population of 9 million. So there's going to be crowding. I went to Prague just last weekend. It's about the size of Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
It's about just a little over a million people. Their tube station situation is a lot smaller than London. So it's just three lines. And tubes aren't very packed. Just make sure you buy a ticket before you go on. But other than that, it's a pretty simple system.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's a good segue into some of your, like, tell about your favorite or, like, a weekend trip that you've taken.
Yeah. I will continue with Prague because I love Prague so much. Prague, like I said, about the size of Des Moines, 1.3 people, 3 million people, and everything was within, like, a 30-minute walk, maybe an hour if you're going uphill to, like, Prague Castle. But architecture, incredible. All medieval churches and architecture, even the modern architecture is very artistic. There's a thing called the Dancing House, which is built as if like a two tango dancers kind of intertwining.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is really cool. It's right on the Volta River. I did take a picture, I'll share it. Even there, they speak really good English, so I never really had a problem with language barrier, maybe once or twice, with like different words and stuff, but other than that, they spoke it pretty well. I could understand them, they could understand me, I could order food, get around town. It was pretty nice.
Nice.
I went to Athens, Greece last weekend.
How was that?
Amazing. Something kind of funny is, so over there right now it's their winter weather, and their winter weather is 70 degrees. And they're wearing
That's not winter weather.
Like long sleeves, pants, and here I am just like in shorts and a t-shirt, and I'm getting like all these weird looks. I'm like, yeah, you can tell, of course. I don't care, it's 70 degrees. But like, we got to go to a bunch of like different beaches, and like the water was like so clear. You could literally see, even like we went out like farther, it's still
clear.
Yeah, like I thought it'd be like murky or something. It was beautiful. Unfortunately, we went the weekend of Greek Independence Day, so we didn't get to go to like the Acropolis or Pantheon or anything like that, but we got to see a couple of temples, which is fun.
How do they celebrate Greek Independence Day?
There was a parade the day before with a bunch of school children and like their classes and everything, and then okay. The day of, there was two parades. We missed both because we slept till they started. But
you need your sleep.
I need sleep. But
was the view nice of the beach and stuff?
Oh, it was amazing. And we at our hostel, we had a great view because we were on the 8th floor. It was just overlooked everything. You'd see like all the hills and mountains and all that. It's so fun. And like the language barrier, it was non-existent because like you would say, like we'd say hi, then they immediately changed to like English, and like it was easy for us to get food and go around. There's this market that was really fun.
When I've been talking with everyone else, even with my home state, since English is pretty common language here, it's the language barrier is almost non-existent.
Yeah.
But I think the more east you go into continental Europe, it gets a little harder. But other than that, you could speak English and get around pretty easily.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. When I was in Paris, I thought we had less language barrier problems than I did in Iowa, because usually, like, when you go, in Iowa, when you're working in the, like, if you work, like Hispanic people like go up to you and start speaking to you in Spanish, and then they just assume that you know Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll give you a look, like if you don't speak perfect Spanish, or if you
speak zero.
Exactly. Well, like it's even worse if they know you're Hispanic, or they can like sometimes they can look at you and just tell, and then they're like, oh, you know Spanish, and I'm like, no, just like no, I'm not fluent, and then they'll be like, oh.
And then they'll judge you.
Yeah, it's fun.
I didn't have that problem too in Czech Republic. So my mom's side is Czech, my dad's side is Polish, so I'm very Central European.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess I look the part, and a lot of the other Czech tourists come up to me and ask like for directions, and like, sorry, no. I'm like, excuse. Yeah.
It's always fun with that.
Yeah.
But
people code switch pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Dylan?
Me? I don't know. I just remember in France, it was a struggle, like, ordering food and stuff. But like, after they realized I had no idea what they were saying, they were very quick and, like, polite.
Was Paris
like
your favorite trip?
No. But that
what was your
like
favorite?
Something, along with, like, we were talking in that avenue. My favorite was probably either the Scotland trip or my trip to Dublin. It was probably the Scotland trip, just because I love the views and like just like the air about Scotland. It was very like fresh and like, I don't know, I just really enjoyed our hike on the Isle of Skye. That was my favorite like part so far. Like that was just phenomenal. I love the views and the fresh air and the wind. That was my favorite trip. I really enjoyed the Scotland.
Did you see
the
Loch Ness Monster?
I did not see the Loch Ness Monster, unfortunately.
I think we did, because I was confused about that too. Because I was like,
the monster?
Well, no, not
the
monster. No,
you guys
well, some girl.
Loch Ness, right?
Yeah. Because I do remember one girl started screaming. She started screaming, "I saw the monster!" And she was like running towards her group, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Because like it was only one person, you know, and like
It only takes one.
Well, yeah, but like also there's some of the girls in that group are crazy. Well, they went. Some of them went skinny dipping.
Well, that's not exactly crazy. That's just
You don't know. They're sticking their entire bodies in water. They don't know.
We don't have to have this conversation.
Okay.
Remember school time.
School time.
Right.
Yeah, I mean it's fine.
But Scotland was really pretty. I agree. It was very fresh. I think Haley Starr got these raspberries. And they're a lot bigger than like any I've seen in London or in Iowa.
How big are we talking?
Like,
oh, like golf ball size.
Yeah,
that's ball.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah, it was like they're big strawberries. That was a big container, and like the water bottles over there were big too. It was just like, I do think again with scheduling, some stuff could have been better because like. We would leave before anything was open, and then we'd come back when everything was closed. So we didn't really get to explore the area we were in.
But you got the bus tour and stuff.
Well, yeah.
Bus tour was probably fun, right?
Yeah. It was. Steve was very entertaining.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the bus tour and, like, the stories our bus driver told, and, like, the music. Like, on the end, he, like, made a playlist of all the songs that, like, everyone put in like two or three songs and he made a playlist of it and he played it for us while we were on our way back. So I thought that was cool to listen all sorts of music that everyone listens to on the bus.
Right. Well, my favorite trip was my trip to Cardiff and Liverpool, not Bristol. Bristol, not Liverpool.
They're close.
Right.
Sorry, but yeah, I just like walked around Cardiff on Saturday and like saw like Principality Stadium, Cardiff Castle, went down to the harbor and like a train that was literally just one like cab. That was like, oh, that was interesting. And then Sunday I took the train to Bristol and met some friends and we, they showed me around and we did a lot of walking. We saw like the oldest pub in Bristol, which was licensed in 1606.
Oh, damn.
So really old. And then we walked, we saw a lot of things. I don't remember everything, but we did go up to like the big suspension bridge, like overlooking it. And that was cool. And then, yeah, I came back. But yeah, that was my favorite trip. 3, 2, 1.
So the weirdest thing to think about with Europe is that so much of it is older than the idea of the United States. So much architecture, so much of the history is before 1776.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to see history of the history of the United States that would have been the United States and all the cultural things that make the United States came from like medieval periods, Baroque and classical architecture. And there is so much history and knowledge that we've kept all these years.
Over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah, that, it's crazy to think about. Like, some buildings were centuries old before the United States like even existed.
I find it crazy how they view like the way we view George III, like King George III.
Mm-hmm.
It differs very differently.
The tyrant.
Yeah, because I didn't even know he had mental health problems until coming over here, and I got a whole asylum.
I had no idea he was like crazy. I had
like we knew he was crazy. That's why we.
But like not like met, like.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I didn't think he was like mentally.
Yeah, that whole video that she showed us, Professor Moody showed us. I was like, oh. And then like when I talked to her about the Hugh Garden, she's like, yeah, there's an empty room where if you go in over there, you can kind of feel how like eerie it is, and I'm like,
I'm sure you're gonna say it's ghosts, and I was gonna laugh.
No.
He's still around.
Yeah, the perspective of how the United States formed to us compared to them is also pretty, pretty stark. They see us as religious exiles, and we see us as new Americans as just finding a new place to live and looking for freedom.
Yesterday at the treason exhibit, we went to a treason exhibit at the National
Archive.
Yeah. And they said we were the most successful treason.
Against Britain. The most successful uprising against the British power.
Yeah.
In history.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny considering all the stuff that they had over there. Cause like you could be considered treason if you went all against the religion, the king, or like
the church.
Yeah. I already said religion. I was thinking the prime minister and stuff like that.
Oh, like the government?
Yeah, like the parliament. Or really you could just be like that person, like a lot of it was petty. There was a cook that tried to poison a priest or something and they boiled him alive.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Not good soup.
Yeah. There's a lot of
that's not the way I want to go.
Yeah. No, it was just there's a lot of stuff that I was like reading and I was like, that's a bit much. Just a lot of it.
I think all of it would probably be a bit much.
Yeah.
Yeah, today's standard.
By today's standard, yeah. Back then I guess they just kinda went for it.
Sure.
Yeah. They just really went for it. They just
whatever came in their mind, they're just like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, well like if you were rich enough, you got a quick death. If you were not rich enough, you did not.
Like the hanging versus like beheading.
Yeah.
And like poor people were hung because it took longer versus like beheading was relatively quick and painless way to go.
Yeah, Bethany. Yeah. Bethany even said like relatives of people who were being hung, they would like
Amy.
Or no,
oh,
Bethany.
No, Bethany. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But either way, she said that relatives would like grab their relatives when they're hanging by the feet and like to make it quicker. Like they would weigh them down.
So they would like
asphyxiate
faster.
Yeah, to make it quicker.
Well,
which is
that's nice in a way.
No, it's really messed up.
In a way,
it's nice. But also,
if I was about to try to save them, I'd kill them faster. Well, you can't really, but
yeah.
You can't do much in that. If they're that far along. In the process.
If you're getting hung, I don't know how much saving you can do.
I don't know. I don't ever want to like have to attempt to do that.
You're not gonna have to.
Yeah.
It's not they probably outlawed
okay,
it
next
by
topic. Can we stop?
Yeah.
We can switch to like your most memorable experience, good or bad.
I don't know. One thing I remember. I was late for a class and I was booking it. I was running and I saw this train and I was like, yo, that's my train. I need to get on it. And I'm going down the stairs and like the second to last flight, I'm torn between whether I'm going to jump down all of them or if I'm just going to like take it in like two steps.
Okay.
So I leap because both of them necessitate the need for me to jump. And so I jump and I get stuck between two. And, you know, when you're stuck between two choices and, you know, time is still flowing because it doesn't just stop for you to make a choice. I basically landed on, like, the bottom two stairs, kind of. And I kind of stuck it for the most part. My feet were under me. And then my knees kind of, like, give out. And so I'm just down on all four, like, collapse. And I see this guy just sitting right next to me, like, in the train. He's just looking at me. He's looking at me like I'm some crazy person. And I get up, I brush myself off. I'm kind of hobbling all over into the train. I sit down, I'm like, oh, that was crazy. And then right after I sit down, PA comes out, this train is not in service. Please move to the other train. And so like, all I did all of that for this one train ride that didn't even happen. And so we move over to the other train. And then that one gets delayed because it's like, oh, there's water on the tracks or whatever. Like, okay, it rains here, whatever. And then we hit like two red lights and I ended up still being late. So I was not a fan of that whole experience, but
so
it's something I remember.
It's very memorable.
Yeah.
Like you ruined your knees for that?
Yeah, I had a big ass bruise on my knee for like the next week. Every time I walked, I could feel it jiggle. It was like, oh. It was not an enjoyable experience, I gotta say.
My favorite experience was probably the first night in Paris. Just like hanging out with everybody and like playing cards.
That was fun. The cards.
Super, super fun. Like, I gotta teach people a new game and it's fun.
Mine would have to be, I don't know, everything.
Well, you can't say everything.
It is mine.
That's cheating.
But yeah,
that's cheating.
Anyone else have a more specific?
Right. London specifically, there are ferry rides you can do on the river. So you pay £9 and you go from one pier to the other. I think Jaden and I went from the Greenwich Pier to the Bankside. That will take you underneath London Bridge and Tower Bridge. And it was incredible. The water was nice. Air was pretty warm. At least for England in the winter, it was warm. It gets, for weather here, it gets about 9-10 degrees Celsius, so I think 32 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, four 30s, 40s.
Yeah, 40 if you're lucky.
Yeah.
The view was super cool. You can see the Isle of Dogs.
The what?
The Isle of Dogs.
What is that?
Isle of Dogs.
Explain to us that.
Never heard.
It's a harbor. It's a dock. It has a lot. If you see like a big crane area, if you go down to the Maritime Museum.
Okay.
That's the Isle of Dogs. It's just an industrial.
You said dogs?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the name.
Interesting.
I think I would say my most memorable moment is Six the Musical. That was really good. I really enjoyed that. I will say, like, I watched most of it, I feel like, on YouTube beforehand. I didn't realize I did, but I did.
Spoilers.
Hey.
Well, I didn't spoil it for anyone.
Yourself.
Well, that was, like, this is years before, like, I even knew I was going to get the chance.
Hey,
like,
it's illegal to watch.
I mean,
you get a bootleg, it's a bootleg.
The stuff I would watch was, like, my favorite moments of Six. Like, kind of, like, little clips like that. And I had watched so much that I kind of, like, stitched it together in my mind. But, it was memorable for me. Like, you know, it was a very pleasant experience. Even though I hadn't realized I watched most of it online for the most part. I mean, whatever.
But like, I will agree with you. Six was like awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you guys were sitting next to me. I don't know if you noticed, but I was literally like this, like the whole time, like on the edge of my seat, like just wanting to like experience.
I was trying not to like throw up at that point. I was sick.
Yeah,
it's not the musical. I was sick.
There was, like, a stomach bug going around at that time. Like, half of our class was...
Yeah. I was sick.
Nathan was sick, so there's, like...
No wonder I got sick. God damn it.
Oh, I think about 10 people in total.
Yeah.
Y'all
got
this weak
virus.
Okay, Dylan,
weak.
I don't want to hear it.
Weak. I had a cold, and that's it.
Me a cold.
And then you gave it back to me even worse. Somehow.
Like, I had
so, it goes back.
And then I got the virus at the same time. So I was fighting a virus and a cold at the same time. That was great.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, like, if anyone comes to London, they want to make sure their immune system is prepared.
Yeah, like, get your immune system strong.
I feel like I tried that. My mom really tried.
Well, she's better than me.
I still got sick.
When?
Well, yeah, because it's entirely different germs. Like, every time
you
travel outside of the country, you're going to get sick, most likely.
Yeah.
It's an entirely different, like, set of germs that people over here are used to versus, like, the germs that you're used to.
Right.
So, like, I feel like it's inevitable when you travel, like, this far from your home that you're going to get sick.
True.
Yeah, just because you have population density.
My nose has been running all week, and I've been coughing and trying not to, like, it's really sucks.
I hope I don't get it again.
We got 2 weeks. Well, less than.
But. We'll probably get sick the week we get home or something.
Like right after we get home, just
yeah.
It hits us again.
My grandma said she isolated herself. She like when they got back, she isolated herself a bit, not too much because you know she's married and.
Yeah.
Right.
And with all the traveling and all the sightseeing, how did you guys get homework done? I've struggled with that.
Yeah.
I should have procrastinated till the last second and then pulled all the lenders pretty much.
No, I can't do that. I always do it. I always get the homework done before the week. And if I usually use Thursday and Friday if I can, because of those days we don't usually have class.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have to wait for the weekend. But...
Like, I did, like, the homework, like, that was due the first week, like, back in Iowa. And then I tried to, like, just keep that up and try and do it, like, before the weekend. So, I'm, like, right now I'm trying to get everything done for next weekend because I leave tomorrow for a trip.
If I have a trip, I always make sure to have at least Monday's homework done so I can have a little leeway.
And even if you're traveling, you can't really rely on the train or the plane to have Wi-Fi. Every time I try to bring homework, like my computer on a train to get stuff done, it never works.
You just have bad luck.
I know, the Wi-Fi, it just sucks for me. Like, I can't even listen to music.
We've just had bad luck with Wi-Fi this entire trip. Like, let's be honest.
I think I have to. Wi-Fi here, it's getting into it. Every restaurant has Wi-Fi, but they ask you for your email, your social security number, the back of your debit card.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole system to get in, but
they're basically asking for your whole identity.
Yeah.
Use some little Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it's semi-reliable if you get through all the security questions.
Yeah,
and then sometimes it's still like connected without internet.
Oh
yeah,
God.
That,
and like
this is not,
what
you
the
have
heck?
Go through all of that, and you're like, this
it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, like on Sunday when we were like in our, I don't know if you noticed, but like at one point I couldn't do my homework anymore because it just dropped.
Oh, our Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I didn't know what happened.
I just went to TikTok. It's fine.
Procrastination.
Like on Sunday, it's better than our first homestay because in our first homestay, up in our room, we couldn't get Wi-Fi at all.
No.
Like it says we're connected and then it didn't do anything and all of a sudden it would drop in the middle of the night and not come back for like hours.
Yeah. It was.
But it's better now.
Yeah.
At least it's better now.
Yeah.
Thank God.
So let's move on to how has this experience like impacted like personal, like professional growth and like your life goals and like experiences?
I think for me, it's really like helped me become a better person and just understand like how much I don't know about the world I live in and how much like how big it is like in general. Like I thought I'd traveled like a fair amount. Like I've been to, I'd say around half of the 50 states or at least been through most of them,
at least.
And I figured like, oh, I got a fairly good like idea of how to travel, like what it entails, like who people are, like just how to get around. But like this has really showed me like the wide like variety of people and cultures that there are in the world. And like it really has encouraged me to travel more and like broaden my horizons even more than that.
Right. Like America is diverse, but just leaving the country gets you wider world view that you can see the world better. I don't know.
I don't feel like you can kind of compare better. Like maybe like connect a few things from here to there, make more sense. Like well, over here you get to see like a different perspective of our own history too, which is interesting. So that helps. But like for life goals, this has like been the best bucket list trip ever because we got to be able to travel so much better over here.
It does really want to make me study abroad again though.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Maybe Japan or something. I wouldn't mind going to Japan. Japan is like my mom taught in Japan, and
there's another study abroad program through DMAC too. So
yeah,
that's just to Belize, right?
For 10 days, yeah.
But hey, it's a different country.
Yeah.
No, I personally, I would love to live here. Maybe not London specifically, but
yeah,
I went to Liverpool one of the first weekends we were here. That was incredible. Mm-hmm. I'd love to go up there and maybe live for a few weeks, get a job.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
I would love to live either here or Greece because, shit, Greece is awesome. And, like, it's just easy to get around, too. And the language barrier isn't hard at all. So.
I'd love to live here because of the healthcare benefits.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, my God. Like
absolutely.
For sure.
Like, and it, just anything because, like, it sounds like what their workday is actually end at 5, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of places are closed on that. I probably would never get used to it, but it would be better, you know, for me. Like, it would be hard to get some stuff done, though, because, like, if you have to go grocery shopping after you go to work, like,
well,
you know.
Well, there's some, like, grocery shops that stay up until, like, 11 or midnight. Like,
yeah.
Tesco stays up until midnight.
Mm-hmm. There's a few.
But if you're not near a Tesco, that might be a problem. Like,
well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, my cousin lives in Shrewsbury, and she's like, would you like to live in London? And I was like, come back to me in a couple years.
back to me.
See if I miss it next month.
Yeah.
I'm totally, I'm going to miss it as soon as we touch U.S. soil.
I won't miss how expensive and crowded it is, but I feel like there's other spots in the United Kingdom that would be better, I feel like.
Yeah, there's areas that are.
Yeah.
Like, right, there's
like especially like this area, it's like the super posh, like
this neighborhood,
there's literally a castle somewhere near us.
Yeah, well, and like I feel like a lot of the buildings they point out to us are like a couple million, like,
yeah, like every time mm-hmm. they like we go on a tour, they like point out like, oh, this can, how much do you think this can go for, and it's like a million something.
It's like 2.5 million
for, yeah,
like
something crazy.
A flat?
Yeah, I don't know how anyone can afford that, like those.
Especially now.
Yeah,
I really don't think people can't afford it, but
yeah,
they just have to live here for the job.
Yeah,
well, like those houses in Brixton, I wonder how, like, I'm wondering if I'm hoping it's a million for the entire house and not just like a room. Because if it was for a room, it's not worth it.
Like, no idea.
Yeah, it's like it's not worth it. I'd have to like look into it more.
Like the cheap places, like, are like why they so cheap, basically. Like,
yeah.
You can't win either way. Like, either like super cheap, bad, or super expensive.
Good.
Yeah, for London real estate, half the price is just about location.
Yeah.
Here, where our school's at, is in the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea, which is so a good nice house here is going to cost you a couple million, whereas where most of our homestays are in the Ealing Borough, it's about 800,000, 900,000.
And those aren't bad homes, like, at all.
Yeah.
Right. You can tell that there's a difference between the rich, royal, posh neighborhood and the more working class, middle class houses. Everything's pretty nice, but even then, location is a very key, important part about transit, work, school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I gotta say, though, if I really get a house, I want a bigger bathroom.
Honestly, I love our location, though, because there's two, like, main lines, like, within 5-minute walk of each other. Like, if you turn right, there's the Elizabeth line, you turn left, there's, the, like, the central line, and those are two big lines.
Two
in
big
London.
Ones. Right. Yeah. Let's pull this to the end and finish with like a piece of advice, just a quick piece. Anyone can start.
I'll start. For classes, for work, for any event you want to go to, early is on time. On time is late. Late is you're fired or you're canceled.
Yeah.
Don't even try it. Because you can never prepare for a delay on a train line. You can never prepare for traffic.
Always leave yourself extra time.
give yourself extra time.
Plenty of extra.
Yeah. I was just at least a good 30 minutes.
Yes. I want to leave like 30 minutes. The trip said it was going to be like, I'm glad I did because there's so many delays.
Yeah, that did happen today, but we're not going to talk about that.
Like, I don't even know. There's so many weird things. My advice would be kind of along with him, just get your routes down before you, like, go on, like, a real trip or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Know which lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Make sure you know what lines can get you back.
That's huge.
I don't know. I'm thinking about a piece of advice. Nothing is like really standing out to me. Nothing's like.
Well, what would.
It can be anything.
What would you have wanted to know before?
Yeah.
Well, to learn any lessons.
Yeah.
Maybe don't jump on stairs.
Yeah.
Don't get on random trains.
Don't get on random trains. Yeah, that's like kind of fun though. Where am I going? Where am I gonna end up? Who knows? What train am I actually on? I don't know. Like talk to people, I guess. Like people are always so nice and like helpful and
don't be afraid to ask for directions.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've never had like a bad interaction with someone where I was like, hey, I don't know where I'm going, where am I going? Where should I be going? What's the right train I need to get on? Like any of those questions, like a lot of times people just drop everything and be like, all right, what do you need help with? And so I don't know. Yeah. Don't be afraid to like chat with someone or like ask them for directions or just like make friends with someone on the train. Like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I've never had a bad experience asking a local.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought the culture is going to be like Chicago or New York where it's just
like mind your business.
Don't talk. You shouldn't talk on the tube unless you like need directions. That's a good.
I should probably learn that faster.
Yeah. But everyone is really nice here. People have the heart to give you directions.
They're not going to like.
Like they understand.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
They're not going to like yell at you or be like. I can't say that for everyone, but they're not going to like cuss you out just for asking for directions.
Londoners understand that London is a hard place to get around.
Like there's 1,200 different lines.
Yeah.
Different ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
Jane, do you have any advice?
I would say prepare your body. that sounds weird, but like your immune system for one, and then I wasn't expecting all the walking and stairs.
Oh, there's so many stairs.
Yeah. Well, it was more of a problem with my grandma when we were getting her around because she hadn't walked at all. She sat, she was sitting on a cruise for mostly 2 weeks before she went on this trip.
Make sure there's an elevator.
Yeah.
In the place you're going.
Yeah, because.
Lift, sorry.
Yeah. Well, even that, I feel like they don't, like, I don't think they're really.
Updated enough to have?
Well, it's not that. It's just like. All the places I go, I'm like, I don't think that would work. This isn't very accessible for people who have like wheelchairs or something, you know? Like, there a lot of the stairs, like, I don't.
I probably see tube stations are accessible for most people in wheelchairs, but then, like, the like gap from.
The gaps vary a lot.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. Like,
I was not expecting that.
I thought it'd be like the same amount of space each time.
And yeah. And the sidewalks are narrow. So,
yeah.
Like. So, and with the construction, that makes it worse. So, like even she has...
There's construction everywhere.
Well, yeah, but I guess I'm used to that. Because, like, when I left, my street was... It had a lot of construction.
Actually, like, now our streets are under construction. Not our streets, but the way to get to Central Station is all under construction, which is great.
Yeah.
That's, like...
Yay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I would also... Another piece of advice would be to plan things out. Like, for instance, the wheelchair thing. Make sure, like, the WhatsApp doesn't really work, so you probably have to go in person and be like, hey, like, would this be okay?
Yeah, see if it's
accepted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Scoping things out helps. Especially if you don't, like, with the recent Independence Day. Like, it probably would have helped to know about.
It would have helped to know,
yeah.
For sure. Because
yeah.
They literally put it off until that day because it was our last day in Greece, and then we're getting a tube. Not, we're getting a Uber the night before, and they're like, oh, it's freezing by the same time. And we're like, well, shoot.
I think for, like, class, if you're going to, like, actually study here, some like advice I'd say is, like, maybe, I actually thought that one about.
Construction.
Yeah.
Speaking of construction.
Yeah. So if you're going to study here and do the study abroad, like next semester, I guess not next semester, but like next year, I'd say set some boundaries for yourself for when you're going to do work, when you're going to have time for yourself, and when you're going to do trips.
Yeah.
And for me, I realize I cannot do homework after 12 a.m. So if something's late, it's going to be late after 12 a.m. Because I need that energy from sleeping to do the 5-mile walk it takes to go to this museum, go to class, go to the next museum, get to a cafe, and go back home.
Yeah, leave more time for homework than you think you need.
Yeah.
It's going to catch up.
Yeah.
My piece of advice would be to, like, figure out a budget and try to stick to it, because London is very expensive. I'm being a little hypocritical because I tried. I don't follow budgets very well.
I
but that's very important.
Budget would be great.
Oh, if you're going to budget to the currency you're going to pay in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good I didn't do that.
Make sure to convert.
Yeah, the converting will get.
Currently, it is 80 cents to one Great British pound.
To pounds.
So, understanding that will. Nope, it's the other way around. Yeah.
Like, I tried to save my budget, and I think I did a decent enough job. I actually, like, the first month we were here, I stayed below budget, which was nice, but, like, March took me out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're.
I've had multiple conversations with my parents, being like, okay, we're going to add a little bit more.
We are going to end it here. And I want to thank Haley, Dylan, Jay, and Matt for your experiences and, like, sharing. And this has been Dayton, and this is the Urban Vibe Podcast.